You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Okay. Speaking of building modern infrastructure and international development programs, courts and roads in Afghanistan, you know, why can't we have more new stuff right here? Why save an ugly old bridge in Manhattan or in Cincinnati? I want to sleek new bridge with bright, shiny new suspension cables in my town. I'm sick of driving across these construction sites for the last 20 years, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge. Okay, keep the famous landmarks. You can keep the Brooklyn Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge, the Verrazano. But is there any point in saving, say, the Selwood Bridge over the Willamette River in Portland, Oregon? Christian Foden-Wenzel from Oregon Public Broadcasting. Why save the Selwood?
Yeah, well, they're going to save the Selwood for about 3 years, and then they're going to get rid of it. But But what's interesting about this is it's a bridge that's about 77 years old and doesn't work very well. It was never designed to carry streetcars in those days when it was built, 1920s. So now it can't carry buses, and nothing's been on it of that size for about 7 years now. But what they're going to do, which is really interesting, is they've built some piles next to the old bridge. And in a couple of weeks, what they're going to do is they're going to take the 1,000-foot span, that is the main part that you imagine driving, and push it about 60 feet over and then reattach the streets on either side. So we can continue using it for another 3 years. And the idea there is leaving it open on where it used to be, so they're going to build a new bridge there. And I have to say, this old bridge, they did a survey a few years ago to see, you know, how healthy it was. And out of a score of 100, this bridge managed to have 2 as its number.
Oh, that inspires a lot of confidence. I guess taking a tricycle on it might be the only safe way across the Selwood. That's Christian Foden-Wenzel from Oregon Public Broadcasting. Barry LePatner, author of Too Big to Fail, America's Failing Infrastructure and the Way Forward, right here in the studio. Is the Selwood story unusual at all in the United States? And why can't we have more new bridges in this country?
Well, John, good morning. The problem is that across our nation, where we have 600,000 bridges on our national bridge inventory, we do not have a really functioning condition rating system where the public gets to understand how seriously in jeopardy the traveling public is today. We have nearly 8,000 bridges in our nation, which by engineering standards and the bridge engineers' analysis could fall at a moment's notice.
At a moment's notice?
At a moment's notice. The public has not been told this. The federal governments, the state governments who run these transportation agencies are aware, do not publish this information, but are acknowledging that these bridges are in jeopardy, but really are not doing anything material about changing the situation.
Now, I'm not thrilled to give tax money to repairing something that's not going to look any better when it's done, and maybe some engineer knows that it's going to be more structurally sound, but I don't necessarily feel that in the bumps across the bridge. Why can't we invest in fundamentally new infrastructure? Wasn't the stimulus program supposed to do that?
Well, Governor Christie today was known across the nation for having said that government used to respond very quickly to disasters and understand that that was a part of the American way of protecting our people. Well, government in the United States historically used to make regular investments in our infrastructure, the Erie Canal, the Transcontinental Railroad, the Hoover Dam, etc. All of these were typical, as well as the federal interstate highway system, that America invested in its transportation system and understood the importance to our commercial vitality, our global trade, etc. We have lost that in recent decades. And now it's become this secret, really dirty secret, that nobody wants to raise their head and take political will and political leadership over.
Talking to Gary LePatner, who's the author of Too Big to Fail, America's Failing Infrastructure and the Way Forward. So out in the Pacific Northwest, Christian Foden-Wenzel, where those gigantic federal dams are on the Columbia River, just a stone's throw away from Portland, how can there be any political viability of just doing this sort of piecemeal repair? Why aren't there big new bridges going up, big new infrastructure projects that cease to do this sort of incremental tweaking?
Well, I think it comes down to money. This bridge is going to be about $300 million for us. And we've split it between the counties, the cities, the state. The feds are also kicking in some money. But it's interesting. About 70% of the trips that are taken across this bridge begin and end in a county called Selwood. Called Clackamas. And that district isn't, the bridge isn't in that district. It's in Multnomah County. And but Clackamas is not putting any money towards it. People there voted on this when their commissioners said, yeah, we'll kick some money into it. To say, no, we're not going to do it. It's not in our district. So I just think, you know, there's a lot of money, got many other things we need to spend on. And so people are like, well, we just don't want to spend it.
Christian Fodenvenzel from Oregon Public Broadcasting. Don't fall off the bridge there, Christian.
I'll try not to.
Barry LePatner, before we go, the sense that there may be a class issue here in that the richest in America maybe don't have to take the bridges anymore. They can take helicopters around them. They aren't necessarily looking at the bridges as a sign of the vitality of the community. Are the disparities in incomes in America, do they politically mitigate against a consensus on we need quality new infrastructure, not simply repairing the old?
No, it's been across every state. There are approximately 160 bridges in every state which fall into this category of both structurally deficient, meaning they've already engineering-wise failed, and fracture critical, meaning if one piece breaks, the entire bridge goes down. And we all saw that in Minneapolis with the I-35W. We have no recognition across our nation that this is a crisis. Just like we have a fiscal crisis, we have a crisis because the statistics show that since 1989, nearly 600 bridges in this nation have failed. This is not an isolated story that happens occasionally. It is happening all the time. And many of these bridges are being kept together in a very, very, difficult situation.
You don't want to know how. Yeah, Barry LePatner is author of Too Big to Fail, America's Failing Infrastructure and the Way Forward. We'd love to know if there's a piece of infrastructure in your neck of the woods that you are particularly frightened of. Give us a call at 877-8MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Coming up, forging new paths for citizenship for undocumented immigrants in the wake of the election. Stay with The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. Additional support for The Takeaway comes from Independent Lens, featuring Soul Food Junkies. Filmmaker Byron Hurt explores the health advantages and disadvantages of soul food. Premieres Monday, January 14th at 10, 9 Central on PBS.